Glani Bhavati Bharata Abhyutanam Dharmasya Tadamanam Srijami Aham Paritvanaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstar Panartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge Harinama 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 Eva Kevala Hello Nasteva 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 Katiranita Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrienda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Hare Namo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Hare Hare
Hare
Rama Hare Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Gauranga Nityananda Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Sri Govinda, Gopinatha, Madana Mohan. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Hare Rama Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Bolie. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
भगवान के जय श्रीमती राधा रानी की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
It's a very nice section here in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's a conversation between Vyasa and Narada Muni. Right? And Vyasadeva, Vaipanyaya, is feeling kind of unhappy. Because he's compiled, you know, all the he's taken the Veda and divided it properly so people can appreciate it. He's then written things for ordinary people, the Mahabharata, the Puranas, you know. But still, he's not feeling completely happy. You know. And so the Narada Muni shows up and says, "It's because you've given so many things which are very indirect, too indirect, and people are just not going to take to them." Now, so you have to give a direct explanation of what is the truth, what is reality. So then he suggests you write the Bhagavat Purana. Right? Other Puranas are named after Skanda, you know, Kartikeya. But this is the Bhagavat Purana. It's about Bhagavan, like that. So he suggests all these things. He says, Jagupshitam dharmakrete nushan sata swabhava raktasya mahan diyati krama yad vakyato dharma ititara stito namanyate tasya nivaranam jana. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for the prohibitions.
Prohibition.
So, different Puranas, for example, they talk about how you can do different activities and go to the... is there echo ko on this? Maybe you can cut down the echo.
Okay, that's better. This is how I actually sound.
I don't talk.
More or less. Yeah. Actually, I talk a little higher than this.
That's strange.
So
the Puranas, they say, okay, you can go to heaven, you can join Robin Williams in heaven and have all kinds of sense gratification or on this earth. There's so many things like that. And you should also worship God. But it's so minor that people just kind of ignore that, you know. And so he's saying you have to just make it very clear to people like that. You know? Otherwise, Buddha will come along and eliminate everything you did. But looking for the point where he describes his own life like that. Yeah. Oh, okay, so here it is. So he describes the whole philosophy. You should describe that there is a God, there's a spiritual world. We have to become detached from this world. Right? You've got to get out of it. Everything. You've got to give up all these different kinds of sensuous activities. You have to give up breathing. Okay? How many people here are ready to give up breathing? Not yet. Okay, we have to give it up. Because in time of death, there's like they put the box in the coffin. If you're a Christian, there's no air inside. Like that. Or they burn your body if you're a Hindu. So you got to be ready for these things like that. And detached. Yeah. So then he's describing, Narada Muni is describing how he actually realized this himself. Okay. Yeah. Aham pur. Okay. I'm going to translation here. Sabha Pandit. Yeah. Aham puratita bhave bhavam mune. Dasyas tu kashai kashyashchana. Veda Badinam.
Can you say okay. The first line again?
With the proper intonation. Yeah. Aham paratita bhave.
In the past, I was.
Okay. Abhavam mune.
I was a sage.
Okay.
Old sage. Mune.
Dasyas tu kashyashchana. Veda Badinam.
Maidservant, Dasyas.
Yeah.
To Kashchana. So yeah. One maidservant.
Yeah.
And the last word?
Veda Badinam.
Servant of knowers of the Vedas.
Wow, let's see. I guess it pays to go to Oxford, right?
My Sanskrit guru is here.
Oxford
is better than you. Yeah, better teachers at Oxford than you can do. Yeah. Nirupita balaka eva yoginam.
Nirupita balaka eva
yoginam. Shushushane pravreshi nirvivikshitam.
It was described of the yogis,
yeah.
Or by the yogis.
Yeah.
And then the second part?
Shushushane pravreshi. Nirvikshitam.
Nirvikshitam means to point out.
So living together. Yeah. Okay. This one, I was Advaita. He's a Sanskrit professor at Cornell. He's describing, it's a very difficult Purana. This is a very sophisticated thing, even amongst the different Puranas. There's so many Puranas, right? But most of them don't even have a commentary. But the Bhagavatam, everybody claims this is our school, our school, our school. This is, you know, this is the power of it, like that, and so on. So many things like that. And he says, you know, if anybody who's tried to translate it knows that it's difficult. It's the Sanskrit is so, you know, to try and put this in the English language like that. You know, it's like trying to explain algebra to your dog. O Muni. Now, Narada is talking to Vyasa. In the last millennium, I was born as a son of a certain maidservant engaged in the service of brahmanas who were following the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. Although they were impartial by nature, those followers of the Vedanta blessed me with their causeless mercy. As far as I was concerned, I was self-controlled and had no attachment for sports, even though I was a boy. In addition, I was not naughty, and I did not speak more than required. That's what Gary was when he was a little boy like that. You see that? Born. Once only, by their permission, I took the remnants of their food, and by so doing, all my sins were at once eradicated. Thus being engaged, I became purified in heart. At that time, the very nature of the transcendentalists became attractive to me. So Prabhupada says, you don't have to ask. You can just take it like that. Very nice stories of people taking prasadam and becoming so purified like that. Yeah. O Vyasadev, in that association and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus, listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. O great sage, as soon as I got a taste of the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear of the Lord was unflinching. And as my taste developed, I could realize that it was only in my ignorance that I had accepted gross and subtle coverings. For both the Lord and I are transcendental. So, anybody on that level? Anybody here on that level of development? Maybe. Yeah? Because we're doing this for many lifetimes, you know. In many places you could be right now besides here, right? But somehow other people decide, let me make this effort to come here like that. So we're attracted to hearing about Krishna, right? But Narada Muni is becoming fixed as attraction. Yeah? And because of that, he realizes that the gross and subtle bodies are just coverings. Thus, during the two seasons, the rainy season, autumn season, I had the opportunity to hear those great souls constantly chant the unadulterated glories of Lord Hari. As the flow of my devotional service began, the coverings of the modes of passion and ignorance vanished. You know? So we may have this experience that we realize this is true. I should go ahead with this. This is proper. But I'm still being impelled by different passions and things like that. And I can't stop, even though I know I should. It's, you know, it's common, you know. But as you go on hearing, then these things just diminish automatically like that. One of our great sannyasis, Bhakti Charu Swami, from Bengal, and he joined ISKCON like that with Prabhupada. Then one time he came into Prabhupada's room in Mayapur. He was kind of crying, and Prabhupada said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, you send me to Mayapur, to Calcutta, you know, for different things like that. And every time I fall down." So Prabhupada said, "Well, what happens?" He said, I start buying rasagulas and anything like that. I was laughing. He said, "Don't worry, it'll go away," like that. You know, so we have some, you know, growth, and it gets less and less and less and less. After rasagulas comes prestige, right? And then people start insulting you and things like that, and you don't care. You know, just rolls off of you. What's the truth? What should I be doing like that? But at the beginning, we have to be noticed, you know, like that. You know, otherwise, we won't feel happy. Yeah. I was very much attached to those sages. I was gentle in behavior, and all my sins were eradicated in their service. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses, and I was strictly following them with body and mind. As they were leaving, those Bhakti Vedantas, who are very kind to poor-hearted souls, instructed me in that most confidential subject, which is instructed by the personality of Godhead himself. By that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Sri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him personally and meet him. O Brahmana Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord. O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by the very same thing? Thus, when a man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which caused his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. And he goes on and says, everybody should worship Krishna. Okay. Yeah. Then Sutta says, O Brahmana, thus hearing all about Narada's birth and activities, Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God, and the son of Satyavati, inquired as follows. Vyasa uvacha, bhikshubir vipra vasite, vignan ades turabis tava, vartamano vayashyadye, tata kim akarod bhavan. What did you, Narada, do after the departure of the great sages who had instructed you in scientific transcendental knowledge before beginning your present birth? O son of Brahma, how did you pass your life after initiation? And how did you attain this body, having quit your old one in due course of time? O great sage, time annihilates everything in due course, so how is it that this subject matter which happened prior to this day of Brahma is still fresh in your memory? Narada uvacha, bhikshubir viprabhasite. The great sages who had imparted scientific knowledge of transcendence to me departed for other places, and I had to pass my life in this way. Ekat maja me janani yoshin muda cha kin kari.
My mother, my janani.
Yeah.
This lady Yoshin, she was
Mudha.
Yeah.
Now let's see how Papa translates that. I was the only son of my mother who was a simple woman. But it means fool. Mudha. She was just a serving girl. You gotta tell her twice to do things. She's very good-hearted, but like, you know, the point is that he didn't come from an elevated family at all. He came from some, you know, pot washers, you know, ladies' hot life like that, and he became this great personality like that and so on. Yeah. I was the only son of my mother, who was not only a simple woman, but a maidservant as well. Since I was her only offspring, she had no other alternative but for her protection. She bound me with the tie of affection. She wanted to look after my maintenance properly, but because she was not independent, she was not able to do anything for me. The world is under the full control of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everyone is like a wooden doll in the hands of a puppet master. When I was a mere child of 5 years old, I lived in a Brahmin school. I was dependent on my mother's affection and had no experience of different lands. Ekada nirgatam gehad. Once upon a time, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the leg by a serpent, influenced by time. I took this as special mercy of the Lord, who always desires benedictions for his devotees, and so thinking I started for the north. After my departure, I passed through many flourishing metropolises, towns, villages, animal farms, mines, agricultural lands, software, industries, chip manufacturing centers, valleys, flower gardens, nursery gardens, and natural forests. I passed through hills and mountains full of reservoirs of various minerals like gold, silver, and copper, and through tracts of land with reservoirs of water filled with beautiful lotus flowers, fit for the denizens of heaven, decorated with bewildered bees and singing birds. I then passed alone through many forests of rushes, bamboo, reeds, sharp grass, weeds, and caves, which were very difficult to go through. I visited deep, dark, and dangerous, fearful forests, which were the play yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. Thus traveling, I felt tired both bodily and mentally, and I was both thirsty and hungry. So I took a bath in a river lake and also drank water. By contacting water, I could get relief from my exhaustion. After that, under the shadow of a banyan tree in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate on the Supersoul, situated within using my intelligence, as I had learned from the Bhaktivedantas. As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord, with my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down my eyes, and without delay the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared on the lotus of my heart. While Vyasadeva at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. The transcendental form of the Lord, as it is, satisfies the mind's desire, and at once erases all mental incongruities. Upon losing that form, I suddenly got up, being perturbed, as is usual when one loses something which is desirable. I desired to see again that form of the Lord, but despite my attempts to concentrate upon the heart with eagerness to view the form again, I could not see him anymore. And thus dissatisfied, I was very much aggrieved. Seeing my attempts in that lonely place, the Lord, who is transcendental to all mundane sub-descriptions, spoke to me with gravity and pleasing words, just to mitigate my grief. O Narada, the Lord spoke, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service who are not completely free from all material taints can hardly see me. O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me, because the more you hanker for me, the more you'll be freed from material desires. By service of the Absolute Truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up the present deplorable material worlds. Intelligence engaged in my devotional service cannot be thwarted at any time, even at the creation as well as the annihilation of this world. Your remembrance will continue by my mercy. Then that supreme authority, personified by sound and unseen by eyes, but most wonderful, stopped speaking. Feeling a sense of gratitude, I offer my obeisances unto him by bowing my head. Thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation, ignoring all the formalities of the material world. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are benedictory. So doing, I traveled all over the world, fully satisfied, humble, and unenvious. O Brahmana, Vyasadeva, in due course of time, I, who was fully absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and who therefore had no attachments, became completely free from all material contamination, met with death, as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously. Having been awarded a transcendental body befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body made of five material elements, and thus all accrued fruitive results of work stopped. And he describes how he appears again and again to do the same service like that, manifesting. But Narada Muni's life is very exemplary. We have to go through the same stages, more or less. Think of the example, like if you have a square sponge full of water, frozen, and somebody else here is a round sponge full of frozen water. You're thinking, okay, square sponges have to fight with the round sponges, like that. When I was taking off one time from Peru, on the way to the airport was this big, monument, and I asked, what is that? He said, oh, that's a monument to the brave soldiers of Peru who died fighting the evil soldiers of Chile. So I landed in Chile. It's on God's arrangement, obviously. And I was going to the temple, and there was a big monument with soldiers. I said, what's that? They said, oh, that's a monument to the brave soldiers of Chile who died fighting the evil soldiers of Peru. More to home, to people here, one time we were in Punjab, district Ferozpur, okay? Town of Pajirka, okay? And it's not too far from the border. So we got permission to go there. We went through all the minefields on the roads and came to this place. It was a little... little military place. It wasn't very big, like that. And the road went down like that, and there was just double fences with gates locked on both sides. The other side was Pakistan, right? Other side they had their little place like that, And at every evening, we both come out from both sides and take their flags down together like that. You see this like that, you know? And with myself and about four disciples, and Raktak, my disciple, his wife was there, you know? And he was a soldier before, you know? And he said, these guys are out here alone for like 3, 4, 5 months. He said, watch what they're looking at. And they all kind of look at his wife. Like that. And the Pakistani guys look, oh, there's a girl over there. Same thing. Because they were just the same people. It was just this fence and everything else like that. But it's the same thing. It's somehow or other, you know, we're Pakistani sponges, or you're Hindu sponges or something like that. Or red, green, black, white, round, square, you know. So that every single sage authority gives some kind of ethical system, you know. In the beginning of the Republic, it's Plato's very famous thing by Plato. Somebody asks him, okay, what is your idea of the ideal society? You know, because we have to have some regulation like that for these things. He says, well, he describes things, and he says that people should eat barley and fresh vegetables and grow things. And so he's suggesting a vegetarian, you know, society. So his friend says, but oh, Socrates, that's not practical, you know, and how many people would follow that? What if you populated your city with pigs? What is that? Meat eaters. And Socrates says, oh, then there'd have to be so much more land to raise the animals. There would be conflict over land. And because you're accustomed to killing other creatures like that, then people would start to have incivility to each other like that. And you need so many more rules and regulations to control things. So that's usually what most people know as Plato's Republic, is what goes on after that. So one Western historian said, it is the best kept secret in Western history that Plato's original city was vegetarian. You don't know this, you know. Yeah. And so Socrates is suggesting this, you know, some kind of standard, you know. And everybody's attracted to the opposite sex, right? So we have to have some way to control this, otherwise it becomes, you know, hitting women over the head and their club and dragging them off to your cave, or, you know, hitting, you know, it becomes so many problems, you know. So controlling these passions with the opposite sex, with food, with wealth. So Socrates has his system, Confucius has his system, you know, Muhammad has his system, Jesus, the Jew. Everybody has some way of ethics and morality, you know. And when Osama bin Laden was expressing his spiritual consciousness, and then people were saying this is kind of a religious thing, and George Bush was saying, we don't have to go to religion. This is just wrong, you know, like that. Okay, maybe at some level people say that. You can't attack people who are unarmed. Pretty much you probably will find that everywhere. If people are unarmed, and you can't attack them, you know. So, okay, now we start to warm the sponges up, ethics and morality, you know. And we begin to realize, well, actually, square sponges are the same as round sponges. You just kind of got to stretch a little bit, you know, like that. Topology, right? Yeah. So, okay, then people go to that level. Some people are ready for that. Some people aren't. I mean, they're very selfish, very materialistic, and they promote this kind of consciousness, yeah. So some people can follow some kind of system of ethics and morality. Then after that, the next thing is if you actually start to follow some system of religion, it means religare, right? Religate, reconnect, same as yoga, same thing, reconnect. Okay. Now we're kind of flexible here. So then you start finding systems like fasting and feasting and control the mind. So it's like squeezing the sponge, right? Yeah. And sure enough, the water comes out of the sponge like that. And now we're even more similar. Now we start to recognize that the animals are also people like us, you know, and so on. And then you go on, you heat the water, right? All becomes vapor and it leaves this world altogether like that, and so on. So when religion actually becomes successful, we start to become ecstatic, you know. And what people were saying in the Bible, in a Christian background, there was a guy named John the Baptist. Heard about him? He was Jesus' guru, and he was in the desert and living off of locust beans and honey, and just, you know, always chanting the glories of God and giving people diksha, baptizing them, and, you know, people would come to him. But he was always full of this ecstatic sentiments, like we're describing here. This water was starting to, you know, get hot and become vapor like that. You know? And Christ was criticizing people who couldn't recognize him. He said, you went into the desert looking for John the Baptist, but you were looking for a prince dressed in fine clothes and surrounded by servants. You know, You couldn't recognize him when he was just this guy, just wearing whatever he could get and eating, you know, whatever he could find like that, you know, so on. But always, was burning, you know, spiritual energy like that. So that's required, right? At that point, yeah, it doesn't matter if there's not any air anymore like that, no more oxygen, you just don't notice it like that, you know. In the beginning, we're like this. We're just absorbing the body. I am the body. Again, I mentioned, when I was first becoming a Hare Krishna devotee in 1972, I was, you know, becoming a vegetarian, you know. And in 1972 in America, becoming a vegetarian was really weird, you know. It meant probably one of two things. Either you were a communist or a homosexual, you know, like that, and so on. You know? My wife's sister asked her if we were going to have children or not. You know, are you going to have children? So my wife was totally, you know, it was really heavy social pressure on her like that. You know? So my brother-in-law told me, he said, I didn't eat meat one day, and I felt really sick. You know? But you can't imagine that, because you just absorb it into the sponge, you know. And it's just, another devotee tried to stop smoking about 5 years ago. And he said he started vomiting. He started having like heart palpitations. His eyes were bulging out. You know. Then he discovered that every single legal addictive substance you can find is in tobacco, like that monosodium glutamate. I don't know what it is. If it's not illegal, they put it in there to increase your body's dependence on it. You know. So yeah, you can't just stop these things. You can't do it. You know. But you can begin to go that way. You understand. You know, some mercy. And so you have to, you know, give up different things like that, stop smoking, give up this very passionate, heavy diet and stuff like that. And you start getting, you know, in the beginning we're like this, you know, trapped, okay, then give up this, give up that, this, that. And finally, achahara, you can come out of the body like that and stuff. And it just becomes a tool, you know, an instrument like that. And we're connected through the mind, through memories and things like that. And we see it all, you know, like that, you know. And then we come out of it. We then the same thing in the Republic also, a very famous analogy, that people are watching this shadow show, all these images there, they're watching and they're identifying with different things like that and saying things, you know. And then they begin to realize that it's all being produced by, you know, light, some light shining on some forms. And they look, turn around and see behind it, it's all just shadows. This body is just a puppet, you know, being manipulated by the mind, right? And the mind is also just, right, you know, growing on the soul like that and its desires. And the soul is almost asleep watching this show like that, you know? And then we turn around, and what happens? We start to go out into the real light, and in the beginning it's just too bright for us, Socrates says. You can't see any forms like that, you just see light. But if sometime you begin to see what's going on like that, then you realize this is the real world, not shadows. There's a Buddhist phrase, painted fruits do not satisfy hunger. You know? You know, this is what an apple really is. You know? Well, this is what love really is, right? This is what a person really is. You know? Ah, oh, I remember. Oh, you know, my home. Where's my home? Yeah. We've been waiting for you. Come out of the cave. Then Socrates says that some people may feel then compassion, things like that, and they may want to go back in and try and help other people like that. But he said they may not be able to see things so well and become absorbed in the drama anymore like that. So people may think them a little odd and how they deal with things like that and so on now. And they may tell people, don't become like him. You know, don't engage in the spiritual life or you won't be able to engage in the shadow show so well. You know? He's a very, very intelligent person, you know, Socrates, Plato, like that. But Narada Muni is describing the same thing. How did it start? Yeah? He got a good education from his family. You know, the mother was just a fully dithering maidservant like that, you know. And he was just a boy like that. And he couldn't even afford to go to a good school. He was some Brahmin. Brahmanas, he had free schools for children. So he was going there and getting, you know, basic education, you know. But then, I think the story is described elsewhere. She was actually in this house of some Brahmana. And so the Bhaktivedantas, the sannyasis, during the rainy season were just staying there and doing austerities. And then so what did he do? He had some qualifications, right? He was able to sit down, listen, like that, some previous thing. So then they were talking, you know, morning and evening, and doing kirtan, singing. The Prabhupada says we have to hear this singing and discussing morning and evening, like that. It becomes so pleasing. Then he took the Mahaprasad, right? So it's very important to get the remnants of food. What is the main Christian service? Yeah, same thing. You know, the end Christ said he was going to be, you know, crucified. He said, this bread is my body for you. This grape juice is my blood for you. And do this often, like that, you know. It's the same thing. It's a very, they take Mahaprasadam in a very ritualistic, intense fashion like that. It's a special piece of bread and everything else like that and so on, you know. And so it's very important, you know, prasad, like that, sacred food. There's one person, Mama Thakur, Uncle Thakur, gee, you forget his name, but he was in Bengal. And his resolution was he was going to take the remnants of every single Vaishnava in Bengal. There, so he would go and somehow they would beg something, some remnants, or if they couldn't cook for them, and somebody couldn't cook for them and take remnants, he would bring them mangoes, nice mangoes, and offer them, and then take some of the remnants afterwards. And some people who didn't want the remnants to be taken like that, he would hide in the garbage can like that, in the area like that, and take them and suck on the mango pits like that, you know. So very advanced person. So he took the remnants of every person in Bengal. So Lord Chaitanya simultaneously was in Jagannath Puri. And of course he was playing the role of a devotee. And he would never accept his worship of being God normally, just I'm a devotee, you know. So he would go to the temple of Jagannath Puri, and so many people were coming, and Kashishvara, the people would keep the path clear, and all the sannyasis were with him, and Nityananda. And before he would go into the temple, there was a place where he just washed his feet, you know. And the rule was that nobody could take that water and put it on their head, not even Nityananda, nobody, you know. So one time he went there, and Mama Thakur was visiting with the devotees from Bengal, and they're washing his feet. He just stuck his hand right under it and took the water and was drinking it in front of everybody. And everybody was just, you know, so shocked, they couldn't even do anything, you know. And Lord Chaitanya didn't stop him, you know. And he did it again, like that, you know. And it's just, people were starting to become mobilized. And the third time he did it, three times, like just getting the water like that, you know. And the fourth time, Lord Chaitanya stopped his hand and said, I fulfilled your desires as far as is possible, like that. And he turned to Swarup Damodar and said, just see your degraded Bengali devotee, this rascal guy like that, you know, and stuff. But Swarup Damodar could understand that he was internally very pleased with him for external show, he was doing this, you know. So he just twisted his ear and said, rascal, like that, you know. This is an example to show the power, you know, of the remnants of Vaishnavas, like that even the Supreme Lord came under his control like that, you know. So Narada took this prasad, you know, and then it purifies you, you know. So after that he could hear even better, and he's good levels like that. We're attracted, we're hearing, we understand, and at some point it becomes clear enough that I want to matriculate in this school, right? You know, I try different schools, law school, engineering school, what else we got? Medical school, different languages, near my house, far away. It's okay, this is the school where I want to matriculate, I want to join. So he came to that point. I really want to do this now, to Trakti, but now I want to become purified. I remember when I was associating with devotees in San Francisco, I was chanting Hare Krishna, I got a book, I read it, and it was interesting. Different things were happening, it was attractive, you know. So I started visiting the temple after 1 year. And I bought some kartals from the gift store, right? And after the Sunday feast, I was trying to play them like that, 1, 2, 3, and Hare Krishna, Hare, it's like, with the devotees in the kirtan like that, you know. And at some point I realized that my senses were completely under control, because they were fully engaged in chanting and dancing. And I also realized my mind was completely under control, because my mind was fully, you know, trying to do all this stuff. There's even psychological reasons why it happens in psychology. But then I realized, okay, well, there's my senses, there's my mind. Well, who am I? I could actually see it wasn't me, you know. And I was in front of Radha Gokulananda, and I said, well, I'm your servant. It was just like this, you know, comprehension, you know. And I want to come back to you. I want to serve you. Well, how do I do that? Well, I got to just associate with these people more like that. So that's basically diksha. That's what initiation means, is you, out of the mode of ignorance, out of the mode of passion, in the mode of goodness for one moment, you know. You can see things as they are, you say, no, I don't like it. I want to continue with my material life. You know? No, I want to come back. You know? Vibhishana, who's Vibhishan? Huh? Brother of Ravana. He was a Rakshasa, but he was a devotee of Vishnu. He said living in Lanka as a devotee of Vishnu is like a tongue surrounded by sharp teeth. You're always walking on eggs, we say. Not, you know, being a devotee of Vishnu in Lanka. But finally things just became too difficult, you know. He left to surrender to Ram. And he wanted to surrender with his followers. The monkeys were throwing rocks at them, and, you know, and he said, don't trust him. So many reasons, you know. And finally Hanuman said, I think you can trust him, this and that. And so Ram gave his final decision. He, in his very famous verse, it's quoted many times. At that point, when somebody in all sincerity says, I am your servant, I surrender to you, he says, at that point, I give him all protection so he can come to me. This is my eternal vow. So that's diksha. From our side, we follow austerities, we get in the mode of goodness, and we can really see, who am I, who is my mind, what is the controller behind these things? There is a controller. Maybe not more than that, just there is a controller. And you, I want to come back. Okay, take the rope. So that's diksha. Then we, you know, diksha guru gives us some standards, you know. You got to do this, you got to do that. And that's the connection, you know, doing that service like that. So Narada Muni came to this point, and when the Bhaktivedantas were leaving, he was asking them for this, you know, formal connection. So he took diksha from them at that point. And then they left. And then Krishna took over from that point, you know, arranged his liberation from family life by, you know, killing his mother, taking her somewhere else too. It was good for everybody, you know. And then he was so advanced, he was, well, you know, why should I try and find someone else to take shelter of God, you know? So he took off, and Krishna reciprocated. I took sannyas in 1984, and was traveling around the San Francisco area, and even that was kind of difficult, you know. Kudichak, you know, living in a little place. Bahudak, going from temple to temple. And finally I decided, I'm going to be completely independent, you know, not obligated to anybody. So I took off, you know, traveling to the north, and I had just enough money to go and not come back. So it was kind of frightening, like Narada Muni. But there is a God, you know, just try it, you know. And everything just worked out after that, you know, one thing after another. And I haven't worked, done an honest day's work since then. You know, traveling, all of the United States, everything's happening. But okay, but now I have to try and, you know, go all over the world, leave America. So I got to Miami, and I had one invitation. Yeah, if you want to come to Peru, you can come here. It's okay, you know. It's okay, yeah, come on, it's okay. You're nothing, you know. So I got to Miami, and I asked, how much is a ticket? And it was like, you know, $450 or something like that. You know. So I had some money. And I said, well, I'm going to a foreign country. What's going to happen? Let me keep the money. I used my credit card. I had a credit card. You know. So I tried to use a credit card, and somebody had given me a donation, and I deposited the check, and it bounced. So they had blocked the credit card. So I couldn't use the credit card. You know. So I said, how much is the ticket? It was like $452, you know. So I started counting all the money I had, and I had like $458, you know. So, but I was thinking, this Krishna's in my heart saying, look, my job is to take care of the expenses. Your job is to just travel and preach. Yeah, let me do my job, you do your job. So I was feeling, okay, it seems like God's arrangement. I'm supposed to leave America with $6 in my pocket. Are there any kind of taxes? No, nothing, it's all paid for. Okay. And as I was walking out the temple door that night, some devotee gave me $10, and I had $16, you know. And I got to the airport, checked in, the guy said, okay, you got to pay the airport taxes, $10. It's like that. okay, you know. You're not escaping, you know. So I landed, and it was a whole thing. Everything just worked out again. You know? So, you know, Krishna doesn't give us these tests until we're ready for them, these lessons. He doesn't give us these lessons until we're ready for them, like that. So I didn't get it right away. It was after going through different things, and, you know, like that, seemed ready like that. Okay, are you ready for the giving up breathing test? I kept beginning to come to this point, chanting and stuff like that, where I can begin to see, yeah, you can get the same energy, you know, from the mantra that you can get from breathing. But it is, it's that real, but you have to appreciate it. If you have a diamond this big, you're rich, but you drop it into a fast-moving stream. You can't see it, right? Yeah, it looks just the same, but what do you do? You start, yeah, there it is. Yeah. So the Maha Mantra, when it's coming through parampara, it seems like an ordinary sound, you know. But as you begin to you know, put your life onto it, sacrifice things. Okay, I'm going to fast on Ekadasi until noontime, and just to go out, eat fruits, and oh, so trouble. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Ah, Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. And you get, yeah, there's something there. The same thing I get from food, I can get from this mantra, like that. So we go on like that, you know, the psychological levels too, because the psychological levels are more subtle. So Narada Muni is following this process. He left. This is called Parivrajakacharya. We're duty-bound to see all of God's creation. Because this is why he creates us, so we can see all these different things and different kinds of people and places. And then we start to see, really know God and what is this world, you know. And satisfied like that, then he sat down, okay, I've seen everything in the creation. I know it. I know how God is through his creation, like that. But now then, how is he within me? Pantheism, mysticism. So we have to come to that stage too. And this meditating on our job and everything has to come to that stage of meditation. And then he was able to see Krishna. Yeah. Sarvashya chaham hridi sannivisto. Right? He's in the heart. He's there. You just perceive him like that. Yeah. And then when he saw him, though, then he gave him a darshan. The feelings were there, but they disappeared again. Right? Just so he kind of know what the goal is. This is the goal, like that. You know. But you're not really ready. You know. Anybody here have experiences like that? Yeah, you get some moment of something that's really high, and then you know, yeah, that's better than this. It's like a lot better, you know. So that's where I'm going to go to. You know? And so then you got to go back and just, you know, do your work. It's like an all expense free paid vacation to Hawaii or something, somewhere like that. So you go in, and later on you're going to go back and, you know, get a new job and do all this kind of stuff so you can live there permanently. You know? But now you know, that's what it's like. You know? So Narada Muni had this experience, and the process is just after to go chanting, you know, kirtan, every place else, just singing about the glories of the Lord, not conscious of the formalities of the material world, like that, you know. So you start to become a little crazy, or a lot crazy. Vyasadeva, when Suta Goswami was born, he didn't stay around for any kind of purificatory process. He just took off. He was 17 years old, 18 years old, 15. 15 years old when he was born, like that. It's an interesting story. This is again during the age of bronze. He just took off like that, you know. Nothing. And his father's running after him, you know, Vyasadeva. So he was going along, he passed by some beautiful young girls bathing naked. And they looked at him. Then, you know, it's like looking at a two-year-old child. You're not embarrassed. You're just a child, doesn't know anything about sex, has no idea like that, you know. So see, they looked at him, even though he's 15 years old and fully mature. And they could see that looking at him, he had no conception of men or women. He was just totally in like a child, just, you know, looking for people and how they're Krishna conscious, like that. So he went by. Then Vyasadeva came by and they looked at him and they covered themselves up like that, you know. He's a god, you know. But because he was engaged as a householder, he has to make this distinction. Okay, this is a woman, this is a man, like that. So sometimes, yeah, somebody is on that platform, they'll come down to this level of seeing things in that perspective like that. Prabhupada would do that sometimes. Sometimes just, you know, go off and then come back. You see, sometimes I saw one video of Prabhupada talking to some guy. And the guy was kind of argumentative, and the, you know, Prabhupada was kind of chanting, and he'd come back and argue with a guy like that, and, you know, he'd go back and forth. You could see he was when he was chanting, he was just someplace else, like that. You know, but he was, you know, not getting too much involved with this guy, so he became stupid. Where did it go? Mulla Nasruddin. You know Mulla Nasruddin? Famous Muslim guy. Mulla Nasruddin. Yeah? He's a historical character in Muslim culture. He says, one should not engage in an argument with a fool, because people may have a hard time distinguishing which one of you is the fool. Ever had that experience? Yeah. He was a very wise Muslim. Actually, the scholar and the boatman is one of his stories. Yeah, probably uses them like that. Yeah. Huh? Probably all of his story. You find in Aesop's Fables, you find the same thing as God. But he tells it. He tells it at least. Yeah. A lot of interesting stories. Yeah. Other ones. But so this is one example. Just going over this, and so everybody experiencing. Everybody's here on a different level, right? Some people are still thinking, well, I'm a square sponge. I'm a round sponge, and I came here because somebody told me I had to come, and I hope the food's good, and what's this guy talking about, you know, like that. And someone else is thinking, no, well, it's good, but we have to take care of hungry people, and maybe we shouldn't build such expensive temples and use the money instead for feeding poor people. And somebody else realizes, no, well, unless they change their character, they're going to be, they'll make themselves poor again. You can feed them, but they'll just, you know, go back into the same thing. You know, so you feed them, but give them prasadam, you know, like that. And somebody else being in this platform of actually having, seeing God on a regular basis and kind of covering it up like that. What's the next step? Well, it doesn't describe it. This is the first canto. As we go through higher cantos, it'll describe more and more details of these esoteric, transcendental, esoteric, emotional states of love of God. In Christian tradition, they're called beatitudes or beatific states of consciousness. Same thing happening like that. You know? St. Thomas Aquinas used to float off the floor, apparently. Like that. He was like really in ecstasy. So any questions? Comments? Okay. When he took birth the next time, yeah, and this, when he became a self-realized soul, he was son of a Mudha Kenkari. You know, like that. A serving girl. But then he describes, he left his body, just like there's lightning, and there's thunder, like that, there's light. So same way he left his gross body and attained his spirit, his swarup, his eternal form. And then when the material world is manifested, he manifests himself as a son of Brahma. It's like Shiva also manifests himself as a son of Brahma, like that. Yeah. But he's, you know, they're both transcendentally situated. Yes, sir. But that's what he's saying. This kind of intelligence is not covered. You discover, even as you start to get into the mode of goodness, eating very frugally is what you need, always chanting, when you fall asleep, your intelligence doesn't become dissolved like that. You go to sleep and you wake up just like when you went to sleep. You know, who am I? What's happening? What am I supposed to do? It isn't like you have to reconstruct your body. What am I doing today? Alarm clock goes off, like, you know, takes you a few minutes to kind of wake up, remember who you are. Well, sannyasa is very good. For example, when I wake up, sometimes I play a little game. What continent am I on? What country am I in? You know, what city? And where's the bathroom? You know, like that. Because they keep moving it on you every 3 days. You put it in a different place like that, you know. Yeah. But it is a fact. It's like traveling, you begin to see, like, what things change, what things don't change. You know? Almost always there's a table by the bed. It's almost universal, I tell you that. But car door openers are not standardized. So this car, that car, this car, that car. You're used to your own car, but it might seem to figure out, is it a pull, is it a slide, is this, you know. Yeah. But then, you know, what's always with me, the super soul, my intelligence, so on. You naturally tend to take shelter more of just your mind and stuff like that. So as you become really purified, then even material intelligence doesn't, you know, become disturbed by going to sleep like that. Yeah. So then what to speak of the spiritual intelligence is you always, you know, Narayana, Narayana, you know, it's like, you know, walking in a room and some television set's playing, you just kind of see what, you know, what people are involved in, what are these people thinking, who do they think they are. Yeah, or he thinks he's Kangsa, you know. Yeah, Narada Muni. Yeah. He's a very famous character, huh? Yeah. In all the Indian movies. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, what does it mean when it says when he saw the Lord, his entire body was separately enlightened from all the things in his body?
Yeah, it was the purport here. Okay.
What's the question?
Well, what does it mean when it says that when he saw the Lord, all of his limbs became separately enlivened? Okay. Prem atibhara nirbina pulakango atinirvrita ananda samplave lino napasyam ubayam mune. At that time, O Vyasa, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened, being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy. I could not see, that's my question, I could not see both myself and the Lord. Spiritual feelings of happiness and intense ecstasies have no mundane comparison. Therefore, it is very difficult to give expression to such feelings. We can just have a glimpse of such ecstasy in the words of Sri Narada Muni. Each and every part of the body or sense has its particular function. After seeing the Lord, all the senses became fully awakened to render service unto the Lord, because in liberated state the senses are fully efficient in serving the Lord. As such, in that transcendental ecstasy, it so happened that the senses became separately enlivened to serve the Lord. This being so, Narada Muni lost himself in seeing both himself and the Lord simultaneously. I could not see both myself and the Lord. That actually is a mistake, I think. So like something very nice, very interesting smell, and you're trying to catch it, you kind of like half close your eyes, like that, and you forget what you're hearing, you know? So that sense becomes enlivened in the nose. When we come in contact with Krishna, the sense of smell, the sense of touch, the sense of hearing, everything simultaneously becomes enlivened, you know? Wow, you know? Yeah. What does Krishna's body smell like? Narcissus flowers. Narcissus is very beautiful flowers, like narcissus and something else like that, you know? And his eyebrows are like a pair of dancing fish in the pond with lotus flowers. And you know, it's just hard to describe. You know, the best poetry, describing what it's like like that. But then and this is why, because people say, well, you should renounce the body, give it up, all these things, you give them up. You know? No, nothing. You give up nothing. Everything has its proper function like that. And so then at that point, the whole body, mind, family, nation, everything else becomes like, you know, wonderful, enlivening. Like that. Yeah? Yeah. So, I understand. He's thinking. You can tell when people are thinking. Oh, amazing. Yeah. Time of death. Yeah. So, of course, you know, we're not following, Prabhupada says this Parirajakacharya is not possible in this current age. Vanapras means you leave your family situation, you take the bark from pine trees, but from coconut trees. You seen this? Like, it's very fibrous. Like that. And that's what you wear for your clothes. You kind of pull it off. Like that. Kind of rough, you know. And let your hairs grow and everything else. This is vanapras, you know. But we don't do that now. This is not possible in this age, you know. But, Prabhupada says, once you give up a vow of social intercourse, and you should travel and see things like that. Get some experience the same way like that, you know. So our main process is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's is Haranam Eva Kevalo. In this current age, the real process is just to hear, you know, from Srimad Bhagavatam and repeat it. You know, actually, the Vishnu Buddhas say that the essence of all these things is hearing and repeating Srimad Bhagavatam, and you mean more than the Maha Mantra, one point like that, you know. And the Maha Mantra is the palm pilot. It's the condensed form to carry with you. But the real thing is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's why Vyasadeva compiled this whole thing like that. And just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Vrindavan Das Thakur, who writes the Chaitanya Mangala, he says, my only ambition is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam life after life from Lord Nityananda, you know, as my teacher, like that. Because it's not mundane. And actually, too, Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't exactly mean what we have here. It means the glorification of the Lord. At this time, Sukadeva Goswami, in response to Maharaj Pariksit, the situation, you know, produced an anthology of different stories like that to glorify Krishna. But there are other Srimad Bhagavatams. On higher planetary systems, there's more verses and things like that. You know? Yeah. But this is the one we have, and it's, you know, perfectly adequate. Like that. And then commentaries coming down like that, realizations from different people like that. So, but if I do this all day long, I'll starve to death. No, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a judge. He'd do his preaching programs. He would go every day. And while he was engaged in his ordinary activities, he was thinking about Krishna's pastimes. Now, Krishna's gone to the forest with the cows. He's taking care of them. And I'm a judge. And this poor lady is being attacked by these people trying to take away her house and stuff. And, you know, she's a widow and no one to protect her. This is just like Krishna protecting the cows from the tigers and stuff in the forest. I'm a cowherd boy and I have to protect him. So externally he's in one world, but internally he's in another world, and it's a fact that what we start to see in this world, everything is really being manipulated by different as Carl Jung would call it, archetypal images, archetypal forms are here. You know, the boss, you know, the employee, you know, the king, and you sort of see how everybody just naturally fits into different roles and activities and how it's all related to Krishna. At that point, your whole life is, you know, one of Krishna's pastimes. Just like being at the Battle of Kurukshetra. Okay, here we go. I'm not ready. It's too late now. Pick up the bow and arrow. Yeah. So Krishna, you know, okay, that's one day. You want to go out again tomorrow? No, I'm not ready for that. Yeah. Prabhu said we could take over the world in 18 days. If you just follow my instructions. You know, then you got to follow exact. Right? Krishna was doing so many things, tricks. Like that. It was just like Arjuna had to be able to follow like that. And even he sometimes couldn't do it. So Krishna had to, you know, save him like that. You know? But Prabhu says in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, as we become self-realized, we experience life at every moment, not just a little bit, but with a great thrill. Right? Yeah. Prabhu is saying the devotee, he's, you know, because it would disturb ordinary people, he kind of keeps it under control most of the time. But these bhavas, some experience, it's just with Krishna, it goes on for years, just like you're savoring it from different angles like that, and it goes on increasing and like that, you know? Some experience you have with Krishna, you're thinking about it again and again and experiencing it in different ways like that. It goes on, the ecstasy goes on increasing like that. Now you begin sleeping and these things go on, your ordinary life goes on. For the most part, it's already determined, you know? One man, Muhammad, Ali, that was, you know, he was, you know, coming back from his work at night, he turned the corner, and there was death personified, like that. But death hesitated for one moment to cut his head off, and he was able to duck and run away, like that. Oh, and okay, my God, you know. So he ran and ran, and at the edge of this town, he bought a horse, and he rode as fast as he could out of, got out of there, you know. He's running and running and running all night long, and the sun comes up in the morning. There's a city in the distance, like that, some city, what is it, you know? So he gets off, and he's walking into the city, kind of calming down. There's nobody awake in the morning. He turns a corner, and there's death personified. and he grabs him like that. And then the death says, he says to death, he said, but, you know, I saw you last night in the other city there, and you didn't take me then. You kind of hesitated. And death said, well, yes, because I was in the other city to pick up somebody else. And I saw you there, and I knew I was supposed to pick you up in this city in the morning, and I didn't know how you could get here on time. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Is it happening to you? Yeah. No, we think we're just, well, life's happening, what happened. But, you know, you're destined to meet somebody and get a certain opportunity, you know. Maybe it's not like this, but it's like this. Yeah. You know. Try. One time in college, I was trying to become self-realized. I like sweets. How many people here like sweets? Right, come on, be honest. Okay, all right, okay. Yeah. So I was trying, taking them, not taking them. Oh my God, okay, so okay. I told my body, you can eat as many as you want to, like that, you know. So I took a little record of that, and it was like, I forgot what it was. It was 18 hours. I was just saturated, you know. I learned it, but my body had its limit. I didn't have to be afraid of just becoming like a, you know, some complete, you know, you know, some kind of whatever, addiction to sweets or something. You know? It took me 3 days to recover like that. You know? So I learned, yeah, okay, this is the limit. You know, my limit. I can only eat so many sweets and stuff like that. And somebody else, I have chemistry. I mean, I did very, very good in computer science, all this kind of stuff. But chemistry, I just could not get. One time I tried my best, absolute best. I got an A-. Right, and it's these other people just pouring stuff like their chemistry is their thing, you know, but they cannot figure out computer science, you know, like that. So you begin to see what is your karma, like that, you know, and push a little bit, okay, and then, you know, he says here, use it in Krishna's service. If somebody tells you how to do that, you get the opportunity, right? Because it's regulated, it's controlled. You got this. It's gonna feel like a boat, you know. This human body is like a boat. And the sails are the senses, and the wind are the modes of material nature. So in the mode of some people, in the mode of ignorance, well, what is the happy hour? What is the happy hour? When is the happy hour?
5 to 7.
Oh, so he knows. Yeah. Yeah. From some distance like that. But that's for the happy hour for the fools. Right? Oh, my God. I don't have to work anymore. Ah, I can go and take my stupidity potions and, you know. They have this really ugly picture, ugly woman, you know. And you turn it over and she's really beautiful. You seen those?
Yeah.
It says that before four beers, after four beers. Yeah. So you go in the bar and drink a little bit and all the girls start looking really nice and stuff. play games and lose your money, you know. So, you know, that's the happy hour for the fools, you know. But if you're a businessman, it's like you're waiting for the bank to open. You go in, you take out $5,000, go over here and buy this and make $15,000. And it's just the happy hour for the businessman is 10 o'clock in the morning, you know. But for the devotee, 2 o'clock in the morning, Brahma Muhurta. Because then it's everything's, all the idiots have gone to sleep, you know, and the business guys aren't awake yet. And it's just perfect, peaceful time. It's cool in the morning. And you can really just chant and meditate on Krishna. And it has an internal, it has actually a psychological difference like that. So it's very important taking a point of this time. You know? So you see, this is my mode, my nature. I've got to figure out how my nature is now. And the wind blows me like this, so the body is the boat, the sails are the senses, and the winds are the modes of nature. And the captain, Krishna, spiritual master, telling us how to adjust the sails and catch these things. Because that's how you become self-realized, not by renouncing anything. Krishna never told Arjuna not to fight the battle. That was the whole point. Fight it, but, you know, fight it and sacrifice the result for me, like that. Yeah? So that's how you become self-realized. Karma Yoga, he's describing that. Then as you become more advanced, you develop knowledge in dhyana, like that. Yeah. So, okay. Here it is. La última pregunta. Which translates in English as the ultimate question.
I know what that is.
But in English, it means the last question in Spanish. Yeah. La última pregunta. Okay.
There's so many religions, so many sampradayas.
Yeah.
How do I pick which one, and what is unique about Hare Krishna?
Oh my God, okay. His question is, there are many different religions, and how do I pick which one, and like that. So you go to the Book of Mormon. No, this whole story of Joseph Smith, he was there in upstate New York, and there was a big hue and call for different religions, and people were saying, join this religion, join that religion, this is inferior, this is better, this is the devil's religion. I didn't know what to go do. So he said, he looked in the Bible, and it said, if you have any doubts, pray to God, and He will inform you. You know, so basically that's it. You know, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam prati purvakam, and again, it may not be that you know within your heart you get some enlightenment, but you're praying sincerely, really praying. I have the same experience. Just you ask God, you pray, you know, and then He'll tell you. You know, somebody will come along, and externally you see, yeah, this is, you know, for example, okay, I'll tell you specifically. I was from a Christian background, and I was working for a Jehovah's Witnesses carpenter, and I was becoming involved in Hare Krishna. He would say, this is the devil. The devil's getting your soul there. Be careful. You know, these Hindus are all from the devil, like that, you know, and so on. So I didn't want to go to hell. Maybe I am fooled, you know. And so I was praying to Jesus, you know. So I was sitting in my house, chanting, a little like that, and Jesus Christ appeared behind me, you know, or else someone with all the qualities of Jesus Christ. It was one of the two. It was like the whole experience was about like this. Like that, you know. And it was all, it wasn't even mental, it was just intellectual, you know. It was like this tall presence and very pure, you know. And kind of, I wanted to turn around, but I didn't want to turn around. I was like, you know. And so, you know, the communication was, you're asking me which religion you should join. Before you can ask me anything, you've got to be a lot more pure than you are now. And I could see that. That was all of my religion and everything else was just vanity. You know, for some personal motive. All the religion to enjoy ecstasies or fame or something. It was all obvious, you know. I wasn't really surrendered at all. Or maybe very little in the comparison. You know? And then so the next thing was you just find any religion which will help you become purified in transmission. And that was it. For my position, perfect, you know. Hare Krishnas. They don't smoke, they don't drink, and they have a regular systematic process in doing things. Okay. You know, my Jehovah's Witness guy, And even talk to him like that. Even he at that point can see that, well, okay, then later on you'll become a good Christian by following this process. You know, later on, you know, like that. So basically that's it. In the beginning, there's no limit to religions. Radharani has her religion, you know, what she's doing, and she's also expanding that. They're expanding that. So there's no limit to how much we can go higher and higher like that. So in the beginning, we're just looking for something, you know, at our level like that. So different people have different necessities, you know. Somebody's trying to stop smoking. You know, his brains are so fogged and everything else, so you should find some situation to do that. Okay, that's what I'm asking, anything else more. And, you know, ISKCON's good for that, help you stop smoking. You know? So again, the main thing is this sincerity, is that you want to find something. And then, you know, you're humble enough to accept the advice when it comes. Again, his story, his flood came, the water was this high, a truck's going by on the road. God, he said, hey, come here, fella, out of your house, we'll save you, walk across to the water. He says, no, I'm waiting for God to save me, to give me a message. You know? So the truck goes away. Water comes up to the second story, boat comes, says, come over here, so what, we get in the boat, we can save you. He says, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. You know? So the water goes higher, he has to climb on the roof. Helicopter comes, he says, I'm waiting for God to save me. You know? So he's lying on the roof, the clouds part, and a big light comes down from the heavens and shines on him. And a big voice says,
what are you waiting for?
I've already sent a truck, a boat, and a helicopter. Yeah. So, you know, I need a very special kind of mercy. No, you need something which is going to help you go ahead like that. And I would say that the opposite side, if somebody is trying to make you make too much of a commitment too fast, that's wrong like that, you know. You know, if you don't see this as the absolute truth and this and the person, no, this is the absolute truth, you must commit yourself here forever. And that's, no. So that's one thing I would say, one aspect to judge if something is not really all that pure, you know. Because God does not require blind faith. He only requires you do what you know. You know, the problem is not knowledge, the problem is bhakti. So you ask anybody, what does God want you to do? You know. But stop smoking, you know. Are you going to do it? That's another question. And the guy says, okay, I'm going to try. I'm really going to try this time, you know, like that. Or drinking. I'm really going to try to stop drinking. So you come back in 3 months. How did it go? I beat the habit, you know, like that. Okay, what does God want you to do now? You know, find some better association, some good church and stuff, and start, you know, get my life together, you know. So you know what your religion is. You know, really like that and stuff, sincerely. And so then you know, on the other hand, there's, you know, like this. But you see that God comes to you externally and internally. He's coming to you. I'm here. I'm representative of God. Yeah, to some degree. Okay, like that. So, it's okay. Okay, yeah.
And last question. Why it is important to worship in the form of Krishna and what the scripture says about that?
Why is it important to worship the form of Krishna and what does the scripture say about that? Do you think Hanuman's Murari Gupta, he's in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and everybody else was worshipping Krishna or Durga, and the Vaishnavas were all worshipping Krishna, and he was worshipping Ram, like that. You know? So Lord Chaitanya comes to Nimai and says, you should give up the worship of Raghunath and worship Krishna. He's the pinnacle of all beauty and all these things like that. And Murari Gupta's, you know, like, he's like an older friend of Lord Chaitanya like that. And he goes home and he's trying to do this. He comes back in the morning and he says, look, this please just kill me. Because I know who you are. I mean, you're the same incarnation, the same Raghunath I'm worshipping. And so I can't disobey your orders. But I tried all night long to give up worshipping Raghunath. I just cannot do it. You know, my head's at his feet. And Nimai starts laughing and he says, that's because you're incarnation of Hanuman. And it's impossible for you to get the worship of Raghunath. I'm teasing you like that. Please forgive me like that. You know, so everybody has their particular bhava, their particular position, and that position is the best position for them. You know, if there's no grass in Vrindavan, you can't have Ras Lila, right? You got to dance on the dirt. It's like, you know, the grass. Okay, you know, the grass is sitting, okay, here comes Lalita, everybody ready. And it's got to hit just the right way to do that twist, to come just the right way with Krishna. You know, it is. It's just like every blade of grass in Vrindavan has to be precise at that, you know. So it's a blade of grass in Vrindavan. But is there a higher position than to be stepped on by Radha's feet? to help her rasa live with Krishna. No. It's just, it's all a matter of perspective on that level. You know, yeah. So yeah, getting out of the material world is one thing. You know, because certain deities are again, that's okay. Certain people on a certain level are not ready to leave the material world, but they should, you know, they should start offering their marijuana to Lord Shiva. Right? Before you smoke your marijuana, you just offer to Lord Shiva and some ritual. Okay, that's for them. That's it's a dharma, but it's not a dharma for them. And so we shouldn't confuse them. We should encourage them and say, okay, that's their limit. Okay, you know. But then, okay, then they're a little ready, they can go to something else, a little higher, you know. And then finally you're out of the material world. So your ista devata, our suggestion is that finally you'll realize what is your ista devata. And some people belong in ayodhya, some people belong in, you know, what else? You know, worshipping Varaha, you know. And, you know, Purusha avatars, you stay there forever with Mahavishnu, yeah, like that. So, in Spanish, entonces, yeah, Bhagavat says, he gives so many incarnations, and he says, ete cha amsa sakalpum sam, Krishna's tu Bhagavan swayam. So he gives so many incarnations, he's saying, but, this is the Paribhasa, the sutra, the essential verse of the whole Bhagavatam, he's saying, but Krishna is swayam Bhagavan, you know. So, in some ways, yes, this form of Krishna is the most intimate form of Krishna. But sometimes Krishna likes to play with Radha as Ram, you know, and so that's eternal. So Bhagavan himself enjoys these different incarnations. So now you're not worshipping them as a way up, now you're worshipping them as a manifestation of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna enjoying himself more than he enjoys himself as Krishna. Krishna likes to come to the material world and beat on demons like that sometimes. He doesn't wipe the blood, off of his club. He just sets it dry there and looks at it every now and again and remembers, like, you know, wow. Yeah. You know, Varaha has such a good time fighting with Hiranyaksha, insulting each other. You know, Varaha's lifting the Bhumi out of the earth. He thinks he looks really good. You ever seen the pigs? You know, they look like people who are like, they have these high-heeled shoes on, they get the hat in the back. No, isn't it? They look like people used to eat caviar and this really weird stuff and, you know, not bathe regularly, but, you know, kind of really rich tamasic people like that. And the pigs are, they look so elegant, you know. So Graha was kind of feeling, he's coming out of the water feeling like that. I look really good and very muscular and I'm lifting Bhumi up like that, you know. And Hiranyaksha comes along and says, stop, O amphibious beast, like that, you know. He says he was kind of insulted by this, you know. And so he said, true it is that we are beasts, true it is that we are beasts of the jungle, and we are used to killing dogs like you. So it's like this, they exchange a few insults and they fight each other, you know, you're a slave, like that, you know. So he's really enjoying himself, you know. Lord Chaitanya was going all over Navadvipa defeating all these pundits. He and his gang would go into some school and they would say, stand in the doorway and say, the pundit in this place says he's a Bhattacharya, but he doesn't even know the first rules of grammar, like that. And they would be like, no. Just like, they would, you know, this is what they would do. They would challenge each other and go back and forth like that. So Nimai was going all over Navadvipa doing this and stuff, and he was acting like a materialist too. So Shivas Thakur saw him, and he was like his father. I think his father was passed on then. So he said, O crest jewel of arrogance. You know, he said, you know all the scriptures and everything else, you know. When are you going to become a Vaishnava? And so Lord Chaitanya kind of blushed, and he said, Shivas, I'm having so much fun. Give me a little more time. And he couldn't understand what he meant, but it was before that same supreme Lord who used to travel with the cowherd boys and fought and killed demons was now, you know, in front of everybody's vision with the same friends traveling around Navadvipa, you know. So that's so much variety. But you know, describing from an objective point of view, this form of Krishna in some ways is the most, because he can reciprocate to all the rasas like that. We have this disagreement with Pushti Marg. You know, Pushti Marg says that Yashoda is the highest devotee. We say Radha. Okay, later on we'll figure out, you know, like that. But at least that's the idea, that Krishna can reciprocate. That's why he's described that way. Whereas Ram cannot dance with other people's wives. He doesn't even take more than one wife. He has ekapatni vrata, so he doesn't reciprocate those things. And Mahavishnu doesn't even reciprocate vatsalya vrata. You can't, you know, chase Mahavishnu around with a stick or like that, you know. So that's why we go through Mahavishnu Brihadbhagavatamrita, he goes in great detail describing these different qualities like that. But all from the Bhagavatam. Yeah. So again, everybody, you know, what is it? Your position is the right position for you. You know? Somebody's in prison and he figures out, yeah, this is the right place for me right now. I got to get vocational training. I have to get some psychological counseling. I can't control my senses. I need like this restricted environment. I don't want to stay here, but right now, this is where I belong, and this is nice. And I thank everybody for arranging this. Yeah? Yeah. But that's a temporary position. And later on, you begin your position, but there's also improvement, because whatever your position is, you can intensify that. Yeah? So you begin to understand that. You know, maybe Hanuman at some point realizes that Radha and Krishna are the, you know, the more intimate form of Sita and Ram, who he worships, like that. And so he's relishing this, but he doesn't want to give up his position like with Sita and Ram. Yeah. So. Okay? So then, well, tomorrow we won't be here. Tomorrow night we're going to go to prison. With that Chandra, Prabhu. But Saturday? What's the point? Saturday there's white water rafting. Bring him back alive, like that. This is Anantarup's wild water adventure. Wild water adventures with Anantarup Prabhu. Ever lose anybody? Not yet? No. Yeah. And I think, what is it? I also got a paid commercial here. Nathan's got some tickets for a dance program, yeah? Yeah? Huh? Well, maybe later on you mention like that. You know. What is it? It's on the. Yeah, it's a whole dance program at BSU, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drama and dance. It's the youth group that came last year. They're coming back again.
Oh, okay. They're good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll come and talk to you, see if you want tickets.
How much are tickets to the door?
$10 at the door.
Wow, can we get them cheaper than that?
Seven right here.
Oh, seven right here.
Come on, special.
Yeah. Yeah. And Nathan will autograph them.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
He'll autograph the tickets. Autograph. Tickets like that. What else? Well, we're going to be here till Monday, till Tuesday. We're going. And we're traveling. That's what you would talk. I'd rather talk about stuff. Just came back from Russia. That was an experience. Wow. Traveling. And everywhere is, you know, Krishna consciousness going on. Very nice. You know. We can chant a little bit more. And some prasad. Again, Lord Chaitanya was going through the Jharikhanda forest, all these owls and jackals and everything else. He was with one Brahmana named Balabhadra, yeah, one servant. He was just chanting in ecstasy this mantra. And all the elephants started trumpeting in ecstasy. And all the deers and the tigers started kissing each other and embracing. And the monkeys were doing all kinds of flips in the trees like that. And Balabhadra was watching all this ecstasy. So Prabhupada says, we may not be able to enchant animals like this, but at least we can attract people at this kirtan. So that should have, you know, nice kirtan programs going out together to practice. In Manipur, Swoop Damodar Maharaj had ladies, with the wives of bankers and lawyers and everything else. They formed this one group, Nupipal Sankirtan, Ladies Sankirtan Party. And they would all have those like, matching saris, and they would go to like the Lions Clubs and places like that. And they had a few songs they would sing, and they would do a kirtana program like that. And a couple of boys came along as drummers, and one older gentleman was like chaperone driver. And they had many nice programs like that. You know? So many nice ways you can organize stuff, you know. And especially as Indian, you know, in Indian culture, and then people, oh, they find so many groups and just do a nice kirtan program like that. But this is the excellent way to preach, is just go and do kirtan, chanting. And explain a little bit. A little more kirtan, prasad, and then people, you know, maybe take some books or, you know, progressive steps like that. So we can enchant people by this mantra. Krishna, 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 hey! Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshama.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna,
Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama, Raghava. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Keshava,
Keshava,
Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Pahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Pahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Hare
Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Hare,
Rama, Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai.